Welcome. I'm Danny Brown. I'm the lead pastor here at Abundant Life Worship Center. And today we are beginning a series called Loving Our Enemies. And specifically, we're going to talk about praying for our enemies. Now stay with me. Don't scroll on. You may not want to hear this, but you need to hear this. So let's get right to it. Okay, so loving our enemies. If you're a believer, you know from Scripture that we are told by Christ to love our enemies. Let's look at that for a minute in Matthew chapter 5, 43 to 48, reading from the Passion Translation. It says this, "Your ancestors have also been taught, love your neighbors and hate the one who hates you. However, I say to you, love your enemies, bless the one that curses you. Do something wonderful for the one that hates you, and respond to the very ones who persecute you by praying for them. For what? For that will reveal your identity as children of your heavenly Father. He is kind to all by bringing sunrise to warm and rainfall to refresh, whether a person does what is good or evil. What reward do you deserve if you only love the lovable? Don't even the tax collectors do that? How are you any different from others if you limit your kindness only to your friends? Don't even the ungodly do that? Since you are children of a perfect Father in heaven, you are to be perfect like Him." You see, Christ tells us we must love our enemies, and He gives us three practical ways here. He says we can love them by blessing them with our words, we can love them by doing something good for them, and we can love them by praying for them. Now today we're specifically going to look at praying for our enemies, because I believe that this must come first. Because if you're not able to pray for your enemies, you definitely won't be able to bless them with your words, and you will not be able to do something good for them. So let's look at why and how we are to pray for our enemies. Now Jesus is our example from Scripture, and we know that He prayed for His enemies, and we should follow that example. Luke chapter 23, 33 to 34. We come into the story here. Christ has already been put on trial. He's been whipped and beaten and now led up to the place where He'll be crucified. And verse 33 says, "When they came to a place called the Skull, they nailed Him to the cross. And the criminals were also crucified, one on His right and one on His left. Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing.' And the soldiers gambled for His clothes by throwing dice." Now here Jesus, as our example, in extreme pain, innocent, and being hung on a cross between two thieves, and He prays, "Father, forgive them." And you know what? Immediately, nothing happened with the ones He forgave. They just said, "Hey, let's get some dice and gamble for this guy's clothes." Now, I want to encourage you, when you pray for your enemies, you may not see immediate results, but trust me, it is important. You see, Christ knew that the here and now in the flesh is not all there is. And He realized that those people were unaware, that those people needed still the hope of being saved. And He forgives them right there on the cross. Now, Christ is our example, but also we can see from Scripture that Christ's followers forgave their enemies as well. One of those examples we find in Acts chapter 7, 57 to 60. Now, you can read a little bit before that, and you'll see you're reading the story of Stephen, a follower of Christ, and he begins to tell the people the gospel and the fact that Christ Jesus was the Messiah, and that they had been responsible for crucifying Him. Now, Stephen was bold and maybe even blunt, but he did not have a surge of people want to accept Christ. Instead, they became His enemies, and instead they surged upon Him for a different reason. Let's read it. Verse 57, "Then they put their hands over their ears and began shouting. they rushed at him and they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. His accusers took off their coats and laid them at the feet of a young man named Saul, and they stoned him. Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he fell on his knees shouting, "Lord, don't charge them with this sin." And with that, he died. Once again, as we read this story of Stephen praying for his enemies and asking for them to be forgiven, it almost appears that nothing happened. As a matter of fact, he prayed the prayer and then he died. More rocks hit him and he died right there. But trust me, praying for your enemies does have a result and will have a result even long after you're gone. You see, while Stephen was being stoned, there's a little part of the story that says people laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. Now, this young man was fiery, passionate, and he was going to do big things for God. Now, we know, as we read further in Acts, we find that this young man named Saul continued the battle and the fight against Christian believers. You see, he became a number one enemy of the cross of Christ, a number one enemy of Christian believers. He had passion and boldness. He was giving his life to destroy Christians. And interestingly enough, he believed he was doing it for God. Hey, can I say something right now? If you choose to fight people and you think you're fighting them for God, be careful. Why do we pray for our enemies? Because you never know who God may use next. I believe God wants your worst enemy to be on his team. You see, in Acts chapter 9, really the whole chapter, which we're not going to read, we read about this young man named Saul who decides he is going to go out beyond the city of Jerusalem and find more of these Christian believers and drag them to jail, men or women. And you and I know that in those jails, many times people did not come out alive. He was determined to be an enemy of Christ. And he headed off to the other areas, the other towns and cities, and on his way, a bright light shone from heaven, and Saul fell to the ground and was blinded. And he heard the words of Jesus, saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And Saul said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I'm Jesus, the one you persecute. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." You see, when we pray for our enemies, we allow God to get involved. We allow God to do the supernatural and do what he needs to do with people, and he can do far more than we can in the physical. And trust me, if we're fighting in the natural and fighting in the flesh, we push people from him, not to him. And Saul was in that group of people where Stephen had prayed, and I can guarantee he did not ever forget it. It must have been dramatic. It must have been something that he could see play before his eyes. And I can guarantee he wondered about this man who was willing to pray for his forgiveness while they killed him. And now the Lord tells another man, you need to go and you need to pray for this man called Saul. Because you see, Saul was blind and they had to lead him. And for 3 days he was blind and he didn't eat or drink anything. And so God came to Ananias in a vision and very clearly tells him, I need you to go to this certain house on this street and ask for Saul. For he is praying. And in a vision he has seen you, Ananias, to come and place your hands on him and restore his sight. And Ananias, of course, when he hears this, has a little argument with God, and he says, God, do you know who this is? This is the guy who has done a lot of harm to your people and destroyed many. And he's even come here with authority to put me in jail. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is a chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. And I will show him what he must suffer for my name. Wait a minute. The enemy, the greatest enemy of the then young church of Christ, their biggest enemy, and Christ is telling someone who's praying, oh, no, that's not your biggest enemy. That's the guy I'm going to use. Wow. You see, the person you might think is your biggest enemy might be the next person God wants to use. Are you going to stand in their way by fighting them physically? Or are you going to pray for them so God can transform them? Well, Ananias listens to God and says, okay, I'll go do it. And he went to the house, it says, Ananias, in verse 17 of that chapter, and he placed his hands on Saul, and he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained strength. And of course, the story continues, and we see how Saul, who also went by the name Paul, transformed many. He was bold and ferocious. He stood for the gospel message. He risked his life again and again. The greatest enemy became the greatest team player, and he changed and transformed lives. But what if nobody had been willing to pray for him? What if Stephen instead had cursed those people that were stoning him? What if Ananias said, no, I don't think so, find somebody else? Praying for your enemies is beneficial to the kingdom of God. And that person that you feel is an enemy, take a little minute and think, what gifts do they have? Are they bold? Are they courageous? Will they take on anybody? I want you on my team. And Paul, or Saul, as he was known, becomes one of the greatest team players, not the greatest enemy. Pray for your enemies. Instead of an enemy, you may end up with an amazing teammate. Because you see, just like Paul, our enemies are blinded and need us to pray. Now, Saul was blinded physically, but he was also blinded spiritually before that moment when Christ met him and that bright light shone. You see, he was blinded spiritually to the truth of who Christ was. And he actually believed he was fighting for God as he destroyed Christians. Our enemies as well are blinded to truth. Let me read you a scripture that shows that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 3 and 4. It says, if the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. You see, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. You see, your enemies, unbelievers, they are blinded by Satan. They actually cannot see or comprehend this message because there is a spiritual blindness. We know from Scripture that our fight is not with flesh and blood or with people, but it's a spiritual battle. When you go to pray for your enemy, pray that the spirit that's blinding them is taken away, that they can see and receive truth, and I'll tell you what, their lives will be transformed. But if you choose to fight them in the flesh, you will only put a wall between them and Christ. And that is not what we're called to do. I remember years ago doing ministry with that pastor named Pastor Alan Osu. And I can remember we were doing ministry, I believe it was downtown Edmonton in a really rough neighborhood. There were many street people, many people just kind of on alcohol and drugs. And we were putting up a big tent on this empty lot. We put up this big tent on the empty lot and we had to move, well, a lot of garbage and stuff you don't want to talk about, but we got the tent set up and then people begin to come. But I remember the one morning, I believe it was Monday morning, and as we got up on Monday morning early, it was like 7 o'clock in the morning, there was a lineup of people to this building. And I kind of was wondering, what is this building? There's a lineup of people waiting. It was a liquor store. And at that time, the liquor store wasn't open on Sunday, but it was open Monday morning. But they were lined up at least an hour before it even opened. And they were street people, they were addicts, and they were lined up to get their fix. That was the area we were in, and I remember doing ministry there and talking with people. And I remember specifically one time, Pastor Alan was praying for a really rough man. And he talked with him for a while, and I remember he asked the man, would you like to accept Christ? Do you understand salvation? Would you like to accept Christ? And the man very bluntly said, no, I don't want to. I wouldn't want to. So Alan asked, well, is it okay then if I just pray for you? He kind of thought about that. He said, yeah, I guess so. And the pastor prayed for him, and he just simply prayed this. Lord, we pray that the blindness Satan has put on him would come off of him right now. That was about all he prayed. Amen. And then he looked at the man again, and he said, so I was wondering, would you like to accept Christ as your Savior? And the man said, sure, I would. I'd like to. I remember thinking, how can that change so quickly? Simply because the battle is in the spirit and his mind was blinded to the truth. But when that blindness was prayed off of him, he could see and receive the truth. Pray for your enemies. Pray that the spirit of blindness would come off their eyes, that they would see and know the truth like never before. Why would we want to pray for our enemies in that way? Because if you are a Christian, you are called to see people saved, not destroyed. Matthew 28, 18 to 20, there's a very interesting verse about that. It says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So you see, Scripture clearly tells us that we are called to make disciples, have people follow us and lead them in the way of Christ, see them baptized in serving God. Friend, you can't do that if you're fighting them as an enemy. You can only do that, and they will only follow you if they know you love them, and that begins with praying for them. So let's, like Christ, pray for our enemies. Luke chapter 9, 52 to 56 says this. It's talking about Jesus. This was a story of him and his disciples about to go into another area, but they were refused. And it says, Jesus sent messengers before his face, and they went and they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him, but they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come from heaven and consume them just like Elijah did? They were angry. These people won't listen to us. They won't receive us. They won't even prepare to hear from Jesus. Let's send fire on them and kill them all. That's a really bad attitude. But hey, have you ever felt that way? Sometimes your actions are saying you have. Sometimes your social media is saying you have. But Christ said, wait a minute. It says he turned and rebuked them and said, you don't know what manner of spirit you're of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy man's lives, but to save them. And they simply went to another village. Pray for your enemies and focus on people who are willing to receive what you have. Do not put your energies and passion into fighting somebody who doesn't or isn't ready to hear. Pray for that one instead and let Christ do a supernatural work. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 to 9. You need to understand this. Jesus loves people. He loves the worst of the worst. And yes, he loves your enemies and he wants them saved. In 2 Peter 3, 8 and 9, we read this. So dear friends, don't let this one thing escape your notice. A single day counts like 1,000 years to the Lord. And 1,000 years counts as one day. This means that contrary to man's perspective, the Lord is not late with his promise to return, as some measure lateness, but rather his delay simply reveals his loving patience toward you, because he does not want anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. This scripture is referring to the return of Christ when everything will be wrapped up and believers will be with Christ forever and judgment comes upon the world. But you see, it's taking longer than some people want. Even in that day, they were already getting impatient. Oh, come on, God, when are you coming? And the writer tells us clearly, God does not want anybody to perish, but all to come to repentance. He is always giving people one more chance to receive him, one more chance to change their lives and accept what Christ has done. So let me ask you, I'm closing this out. I need to ask you, if you're watching this, have you repented? Are you saved? Or are you one that he is patiently waiting for? Can I tell you this? You need to allow him to change your life. I'm going to pray right now that blindness be removed from every person who's listening to this. Lord, we pray right now, the spirit of blindness that would blind the minds of those who don't yet know you, be removed right now. We thank you, Lord, they are open to receive the truth. So today, if you have never accepted Christ into your heart, you've never asked him to forgive your sins, I want you to do that with me right now. It's this simple. Confess it with your mouth. I'm going to say a simple prayer and I'm going to ask you to repeat it. And that is you asking Christ to begin a new life for you, to forgive you of your sins. Let's do it right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I ask you now, forgive me of all I've done wrong. Make me new. Use my life. I thank you. I am saved. If you prayed that today, you are saved. You now have experienced new life. And as you get into God's word, he will show you the things you need to leave behind. You will feel in your spirit things that don't please him and you turn from them. That's the repentance that he talks about. You truly are a new creation in Christ. I want to encourage you, if you've said this prayer with me, you know Christ has saved you, to go over to our website and connect with us, www.alwc.church. And you can click on the tab that says Find Jesus. And finally, as I wrap up, I want to pray for believers today. I want to pray for you who would say, yeah, I'm a Christian. And I want to ask you a question before I pray. How many enemies do you have on your prayer list? My guess is most are going to say none. Now, for those listening, you're not sure what a prayer list is. Often as believers, we'll make a list of the things we want to pray for and the people and the issues and the concerns. How many enemies are on your prayer list? We need to make that a habit because God wants to transform our enemies. Let's make a point of praying continually for those God wants on his team. Let me close this out in prayer right now. Lord, I thank you that you give us hearts to love our enemies and to pray for them continually. We pray right now for their transformation. We pray for the blindness to be removed from their eyes. We pray, Lord, that they become number one team players on Team Jesus. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So today, I want to encourage you. God loves you more than you can imagine. He doesn't want you to walk in anger or bitterness. He wants you to walk in love. Pray for your enemies today. All right, God bless you. We'll catch you next time.